Hello and welcome to another legless episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As usual, if you would like to know more about this week's chapter, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This is Chapter 12, Finding My Feet. Ago. The seeker awoke to the sun streaming in through the window. Moving gently to avoid the pain from the hangover, he swung his legs out of the bed when he realized there was no pain. He could open his eyes fully and register the morning sun without squinting and reaching for a hip flask. Trying to figure out what the hell was going on, and slowly, each flash of memory being served up with an almost malicious glee from his brain which did not feel pickled for once. Heading out with Steve, the beating at the house of Levi, his nose! Even as his hands were going to his face, another flash, the sound that he was so sure would become a permanent addition to his night terrors, the snapping of his shins. His hands met perfect flesh. The kind of nose you had to pay for. He then waggled his legs off the edge of the bed and noticed they seemed shorter than they should. They were in perfect condition, though. The twisted body horrors he had as legs yesterday were gone like a fever dream. That took him a minute. Finding out that your body is not the same size as it has been your entire life, he was missing some length. What was going on? The seeker gingerly stood up, unsure if these new shorter gams would take his weight. No problem, although the world did seem slightly wrong, seeing the room from a different height. That could also be the fact that he was seeing so clear, not through the veil of the habitual hangover. Valkyr. The memory of Valkyr becoming something else, something obviously not human, slammed into him. Where was he? Throwing on some clothes, he was about to leave, then grabbed his old overcoat. Sure, it smelt like a donkey had been sick in it, but he was not comfortable with how out of proportion he felt. Heading downstairs, he heard someone moving around behind the bar. Was that washing being done? No one washed in here. It was just me, Surly Curly, the owner, and she had not stepped in since I had started. Going downstairs was odd. Everything felt off, like the moments just before blacking out from drinking. The seeker reached the bottom and rounded the corner into the main bar area, and there was Valkyr, behind the bar, washing pint mugs. They looked so clean you could almost drink out of them. Valkyr looked up when Seeker walked in. He just stopped, his perfectly manicured hands deep in the sink. They stared at each other. Seeker broke first, awkwardly clearing his throat.
So, you...
Trailing off, he gave up and shrugged.
Thanks, I guess.
Valkyr dried his hands on a cloth that was probably just making them dirty again, and cracked a wry grin.
Seeker, ever eloquent. He gestured over to the taps. Pint?
Automatically, he began to say yes, but realized he was enjoying his newfound ability to be able to breathe without causing pain. He shook his head.
No thanks.
Valkyr's eyebrows began doing a comical attempt to climb into his hair at that.
Hey, it's your fault. I'm liking this no hangover thing.
Valkyr nodded and waved to one of the tables.
Well, let's get this over with.
Sitting across from each other, Seeker waited for a beat. Valkyr just watched him. Clearing his throat, Seeker broke first.
Fine, be that way. Did you want to talk about your super?
He was not even halfway through the sentence, and Valkyr was shaking his head.
All right, Seeker agreed, gesturing to himself. Thanks, though. You're a better friend than I deserve.
Valkyr softened. Seeker had not realized just how tense and tight his friend had been. Valkyr obviously didn't want anyone to know about his super.
You are welcome, my friend. I am sorry about your legs. I did the best I could, but the damage was too severe. I had to remove the shattered chunks and fuse the bones together. You lost a bit of height.
I noticed, Seeker replied.
It felt weird, cold, awkward between them. This was wrong. The moment stretched. The seconds turned into minutes. Finally, Seeker could not take it anymore and broke the silence again.
I'm not going to ask about your super. I hope one day you will tell me more about yourself, but only when you're comfortable. I don't mind waiting.
Valkyr simply nodded.
So, what happened to you anyway, Stumpy?
Stumpy?
Seeker burst out, then saw his friend's lopsided grin.
That's rich from you, Birdman.
They both just started to laugh. Not in the that-was-funny way, more from the release of tension.
I deserve that, Valkyr said.
Yeah, you did,
Valkyr agreed.
Well, I got talking to Steve the other day, and he brought up the house of Levi without prompting. I thought it was a stroke of luck.
Seeker tried to suppress the shudder. It didn't work. He continued.
Remember, both you and I thought it was like a self-help group or something for all us copies.
The slight tightening of Valkyr's eyes when Seeker called himself a copy did not go unnoticed, however it was ignored. The Seeker continued. He knows who he is.
So Steve took me to the house, and I had my own expectations. I didn't think that I'd be in danger. It is some kind of weird cult. There was a definite leader who kept going on about my mission, trying to find out what I was. I still don't know what he was actually after.
Taking a deep breath, trying to move past the sound of his legs being snapped, Seeker pushed on.
I have no idea what's going on there, but I don't think they have any answers for me.
Do you think the Levi that got you out will show up here like he said?
Valkyr asked, then paused.
Shit, I didn't even think about that. Do you think he'll show up by himself? Are you safe here?
Another pause before.
Did you want to stay at my place tonight?
Seeing this Adonis, who was always so collected, stumble over his words was off-putting. However, at the same time, Seeker felt warm that the man would offer up his sanctuary. Seeker thought about it for a moment, more as in he wanted to finally see Valkyr's place than thinking he was in any danger. Valkyr had already offered up so many of his secrets to him recently, he didn't want to push it.
No thanks. I don't think he's any trouble. He was the one who risked himself getting me out. Whatever is happening there is a cult. Run with a fist.
Again, Seeker cast about him for a pint mug, then slumped back disappointed when he remembered there wasn't one. He then realized he was not doubled over in his usual morning ritual of a coughing fit. Seeker's voice was still rasped raw, but it didn't hurt. Another reason he owed Valkyr literally his life. He looked around at the dark interior of the taproom, the smoke-stained exposed wood, the mysterious marks on the floor. Suddenly he saw it as the hovel, the fetid depression nest he had been hiding in for months now. Valkyr looked questioningly at Seeker.
What about Steve? He knows exactly where to find you. They know where you are. You need to get away from here. You need to get to safety.
Steve, again. Seeker had not thought of that. His brain was trying to get back up to speed now it was not fighting through a constant fog of alcohol.
Ah, shit. They know exactly where I am. They don't know I have a weird bird healer person as a friend, though. That might have bought me some time.
Seeker mused. He looked at Valkyr sadly.
I think you're right, though. I need to leave this city. I am a Levi, though. I have no friends or family outside. I have nowhere to go.
He tried to not sound so pathetic. However, the idea of starting again without having Valkyr with him was hurting his soul. Valkyr nodded slowly.
I know, my friend. I wish it was not the way it is, but...
He paused.
This could be good for you.
Valkyr looked around the dim interior of the skin drum.
I will always have fond memories of this place, but maybe it is time to move on. You have been slowly committing suicide here for a while now. I have tried to be your friend, however I think you should hear what this copy has to say and then leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Seeker burst out.
That's too soon. I need to...
He trailed off morosely.
I don't have anything to do except say goodbye to you, do I?
Seeker sat there and questioned what he had even been achieving being alive. He had one friend, a shit job with an even shittier boss. He hated leaving the skin drum and being faced with all the copies everywhere reminding him of what he was trying to hide from. Valkyr watched it all cross the Seeker's face.
If you let me, I can help you again. I have a friend, he would take you in. It is in a monastery, though, so you would have to continue this smoke and drink-free lifestyle you have embraced for all of 30 minutes.
Seeker sadly smiled at Valkyr.
That sounds interesting. However, I've not been exactly diligent with my savings. I'm not sure I'd be able to pay for the transport, let alone stay somewhere without working.
He hardened his gaze.
That was not a cry for help or a handout, Birdman.
They stared at each other, one angry and embarrassed, the other understanding. Seeker dropped his eyes first. Valkyr spoke softly.
Please, let me help you leave. Lightning owes me, he can get you there in a heartbeat, and I have made more money than I could ever spend. How do you think I could afford to come and just waste my life with you? Please.
Seeker swallowed. He was trying to think of a reason to turn down this offer more than stubborn pride. He was being handed a gift. Softly, so softly, as if he didn't want the world to hear how scared he was, he asked,
I don't want to be alone again. Will you come and visit me? Of course, my friend.
Valkyr smiled. That was Chapter 12, Finding My Feet. You might have noticed by now I love naming my chapters as little jokes or nods, and I am especially proud of this one. We also get to see the Seeker finally accepting help, finally seeing what he has been doing to himself, and what staying in this city is doing to him. I tried to get across how off-putting it all is for the Seeker as well, that he is no longer hungover, no longer struggling to simply breathe or exist. It's the perfect clean slate. By now, I'd completely figured out that Valkyr was in love with the Seeker, but was still hesitant to share all his secrets. Valkyr has been through so much himself that he's not willing or able to trust so easily. Valkyr is not a prop to be used. He is his own person with scars and dreams, trauma and wants. He would not suddenly declare his undying love to anyone, let alone someone he has been watching slowly kill themselves for months now. I love writing their interactions though. The final words from the Seeker in this chapter I think come from a place inside myself as well, as when recording the line as the end, I felt friction, and it was like the Seeker was speaking through me. I hope that it connects with other people out there, as I think it's a fundamental part of being human. The stepping into the unknown, of leaving your place of safety and trying to face your future. It's scary and hard, but it's helped by knowing you have someone who cares for you, so you don't feel alone. I think the perfect microcosm for this is youth hostels. I've not been in one for decades now, so I don't know if they've changed, but when I was a poor young adult traveling, I was out in the world by myself. It was exciting and scary. Then at night, when staying in a youth hostel, you would find others doing the same thing, and you would sit around swapping stories and sharing your journey. You would not see them again, but that didn't matter. It was reassuring to know that you were not alone. There were others out there facing the same kind of adventures, the same kind of insecurities. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.